Father, we privilege we are gathered before you. Thank you. Let your will and your will prevail. In Jesus' most precious name. We appreciate everyone that is here and that has joined in already. Welcome tonight. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being here. And thank you for consistency being our. We apologize for yesterday's transmission. It was just something out of the normal. I think there was a rainfall across North Central Nigeria because it spread all the way from FCT through Nasarawa State down to Makurdi and even to local governments in Makurdi. And I'm very sure it rained around the Kubwa axis. So we can say it rained in Niger State because the Kubwa axis is just adjacent to the outskirt local governments of Niger State like Suleja. And I'm thinking perhaps it also rained in Jos. So if it rained in Jos, it's like it was a middle belt operation. So there was transmission issues here and there. And I was getting reports from other folks who joined in that transmission also from our own end was disrupted at some point because of the network and all that. So we really apologize for that. We trust God that whatever needed to be heard tonight will give us the opportunity again to hear it. Glory. Well, I welcome everyone to tonight's meeting and to this roundtable. Like I was saying yesterday, why do we listen to the things that we listen to? We listen to the things that we listen to because it is God's word coming to us. And to whoever God's word comes to, it changes his life. Let me tell you, it is the word of God that transforms you. Salvation, you experience salvation, which is the best thing that has happened to our lives, by the preaching of the word of God. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make known the word. Preach it. Preach it. Share the word. Share the word. Share the word. And if salvation came through the word, the process and the benefits and all the provisions that are in salvation will be attained to through the word. Through the word. Through the word. And so we have prophetic timelines, we have prophetic seasons, we have prophetic destinations, prophetic destinies, and prophetic arrangements from God. All of it are packaged into God's word. And so you can already ascertain that these things we say to you, some of them are not recent words. Not like we are, there are things that have abounded, but they were kept sealed until the time. The time is because it is now time for people to come into knowledge and to revelation of it and then be transformed by the understanding and by entering into it. Because the word of God is not what you comprehend. It goes beyond comprehension to experience. Yes, and that's me trying to say experience. Glory to God. So it goes beyond what you comprehend to what you experience. So take the word of God serious. However you receive God's word, as long as it is God's word, take it to heart. Father, we give you praise. Yesterday, we started to talk about some very important things. And I don't know how much of it we're able to receive because of the general transmission hitch, because of the weather generally yesterday. But yesterday, we talked about... All right, let's begin from Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1 to 5, where we set our journey from yesterday. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1 to 5. Please, let's pay attention now, as this is very, very important. All right, Ezekiel 28, 1 to 5 says, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up and you say, I am a God. I sit in the seat of gods in the midst of the seas. He said, yet you are a man and not a God, though you set your heart as the heart of a God. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. He says, with your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have set your heart as the heart of the God. All right, let's look. Stop at verse 5. All right, our emphasis yesterday was in the fact that God said to him, you are wiser than Daniel. He said, with your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. And we said yesterday that God acknowledged the working secret of this king and what was responsible for the degree of wealth that he worked and operated in. And he said that it was tied to the wisdom and the understanding that he was working with. He said, with your wisdom and understanding, you have gained riches for yourself. So we said that to gain riches, there is a wisdom and understanding for it. You must understand certain things. This guy was a big prince. He was a wealthy guy. If you read about his nation, the ancient city of Tyre, you can already know why it was renowned for such wealth. But this guy was a big guy. But God said, your wealth, you have wealth. That was God's testimony about him. You have wealth, but you have acquired it because of understanding. He had an understanding that was responsible for the wealth that he had acquired. So what we did yesterday was try to highlight certain things in terms of understanding as we were building to a wisdom. Building to a wisdom. Because he said wisdom and then you have understanding. Of course, wisdom is further after understanding comes, then you walk in wisdom, which is actions according to revelation. When you take steps that are centralized on the understanding you have attained to, then you have wisdom. Praise the Lord. So that was what we tried to do. But you see, in trying to carry us to levels of understanding, we can't do an auto import without beginning first at a foundation. Which is why we started tracing again from the rudiments, the basic underlying architecture of economy, which is why we said oikonomia, which is the Greek word from which the English word economy is derived from. So we stripped all of the ornamental inclusions, and we stripped off every embellishment of modernity and civilization, so that we could see in basic terms how certain things operate within a society. Are we following tonight?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We are trying to do that recap because transmission was terrible yesterday. So let's not assume anything. So what did we say? We began from a place where we could begin from so that it could make sense. And we talked about wealth. Because when you talk about economy, wealth has to be a starting point because we have to start from somewhere. Because economy or economia exists because there's something. Economia in Greek terms, which is a derivative word of this, or the root word of economy in English, it has to do with management. And it talks about household management. Like home economics that you did in junior high school is actually the right translation of the word oikonomia. So when you talk about management, there has to be something to manage. I talked about household activity and resources. So the wealth of a household. So wealth is always the right place to start. And so we began from wealth. I remember we said yesterday that because of we were trying to deliver a revelation and a doctrine of scripture by God's light, or a doctrine from God, we were redefining the things in the light of the revelation we have received. Because it's not like we went to find any, no, we didn't do that. We were just learning direct. So we discover some things, we just define it in line with what we are seeing and what we mean. And if we invent some phrases in the process, and of course they are already, we define it so you know what we mean. So, and I said, if anything we are explaining here conflicts what you know this thing to be, we don't know about that because we don't even know of what you are talking about. We're not in line with what we are saying. And of course, at the end of the day, you discover that some things rhyme. Not like we knew them before time, but in line with the revelation, some terms come up and then we define it and we realize actually that's how it's defined in the profession. But that being the case, we started from wealth. And we defined wealth as asset of value. Anything that has value, that's what we defined wealth as. But as to the matter of value, we said, hold on a second. In defining wealth, we said assets of value. But then we went further to still highlight something important. But we said in terms of value can be either subjective or objective. And somebody might say, what does it mean for objective and subjective? We want to agree that the value in terms of wealth that we are talking about is a value that can be recognized by other people that are not of you, that are not you and not your household. Because if somebody you a dear one, somebody you love, or a relative that you hold in high esteem gives you something as simple as a gift or whatever, it may have a sense of value because of private and sentimental attachment. But it may not have any objective value that any other person derive from it. So in that term, that value is private to you. But then we can have value that everybody can recognize that it is valuable. Like food, seed that somebody sows. You know how much people buy seedlings of yams to plant. People travel all the way to certain countries to bring seeds of fruits that they don't have in the country so that they can start planting it. So when we said assets of value, we mean objective value that is not determined by any private assessment. Do we understand? But in defining value, we said according to this revelation, we said value can be of two kinds. And well, that makes it funner, but basically two kinds, because we have talked about objective and subjective value, private value and value that is non-private. But then over and beyond that, we are seeing essentially and basically that values can be seen in two categories. And we said that these are intrinsic value and extrinsic value. I refer to intrinsic value as a value that a thing has because of its direct, inherent worth, because of what it is, because of its worth inherently, like food. The food is direct, it comes from it. But then, well, there are also this what we now call extrinsic value, which is value we defined as being a related value and associated. And we said that if somebody has a vehicle and he tells somebody, bring me 20 seeds of mango fruit and I'll give you this vehicle, this individual goes on a rampage in the village looking for seeds of mango, going through compounds, taking waste areas and all that, looking for seed. The seed he's picking does not have any intrinsic value to him. Its value to him is related because its value is tied to what he intends to obtain once he delivers the seed. Because, well, he doesn't have anything to do with it.
So in that case, to the person who is bringing those seeds, the value of those mango fruits, seed of the seed from the for the fruit, is to him an extrinsic value. Well, but to the other individual, like we said, yeah, maybe that individual is a boat and intends to bring, extract some substance from it for a research purpose. To him, the value of that thing is intrinsic, is direct from it. You see how economic things have the dynamics. So, which means that the same item can have different kind of value to the same different individuals who are transacting together. I believe we got that right. So
yes, sir.
So we looked at that. Now, and then further on from there, having seen that, we proceeded to see what we referred to as the wealth of a society. And we said that we will only bring it down to a society level and take a good look at a simple arrangement that we can view, analyze, and define. Because if we make it a complex arrangement, we include too many variables and it becomes sophisticated. We cannot observe small changes. Which is why when they want to do certain evaluations, they take a microcosm. In statistics, they call it sampling. You take a reasonable portion of a whole and use it to estimate reasonably. You don't take the whole data. You take a sample of the data. So why don't you take the whole? You don't want to increase the sophistication, because you include more variables that it may be difficult to handle. So we talked about the wealth of a society. And we said that the wealth of a society is defined as the total assets of value that is found in a society. A society in this place can just be as simple as a community, a hamlet, a settlement, a village, but not yet a city. Because if we take a look at city, there are certain factors that determine if a place is a city. Praise the Lord. Now, so in defining that wealth, we said so a wealth of a society is a total assets of value that is found within the society. But then at the same time, we said, wait, hold on a minute. Are we talking about individual wealth or a wealth that is corporately owned? Because we have societies and environments that are blessed with natural resources, tin, iron, ore, laterite, and minerals of value. Those minerals of value are corporately owned by the inhabitants of the land. And every transaction with it is supposed to be for the benefit of communal benefit. And if an individual takes upon himself to have dealings with such wealth for his own personal benefit, he's robbing the people. So we said, if we take a look at it in terms of a corporate wealth, it makes our observation sophisticated. So we talked about individual wealth and a corporate asset. So we said, no, let's keep aside the corporate asset and look at the individual wealth. So that when we say that the wealth of a society, we talk about the wealth or assets of value that are available within a city, within an environment, within a society. Does that make any sense to us? I believe it does.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Through thy wisdom and understanding, you have gained riches. Don't forget that. That's where we are coming from. All right. So we said, okay, to further make this more specific and to give clear understanding, let's assign values to our dynamics so that we can watch what goes on. So we say, let's take a look at an instance where we have 40 persons making up that society. And each of these 40 persons are active participators in the economic activity that goes on within that society. And let's say that each of these individuals possesses a wealth with a numerical value of 2. So that means they have 2 wealth each. Remember, we have not defined in terms of direct identity what wealth, the kind of wealth is, because we only define the template that can be used to classify it if an object or an item or a thing can be called wealth or not. So when we say wealth, don't see anything, just see only a template, asset of non-private value. And we have defined what we meant by non-private, objective value. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, so if we assign two wealth to everybody in that society, and we have 40%, we have 120 units of wealth available within that society. And all of this wealth will not be the same kind, because for obvious reasons, we can't all have the same abilities. And of course, ability also is a wealth. But because ability can be quantified in terms of number, we are assigning value to it so that we can monitor what is going on as it's developing. So if we have 120 wealth units transacting within a society, this is your has to. Over time, economic activity will ensue, because we said that economic activity is not an arrangement that occurs because people want to be transacting. It is a function of necessity, and people didn't have to invent it. It became a part of living. And as far back as ancient time, people were exchanging what they had to obtain what they didn't have. And you could already see kids growing up, going together. You say, okay, give me this now. So you give me your this. Then this one gives one fry, give this one a small portion of his yam. This one cuts a little egg for him. Do you already see? They are kids. But how are they doing that? They are not thinking there's economy. It's necessity. And that necessity is an inborn drive in humans. And that drive is the desire to satisfy needs and wants. As long as that desire is inside man, economic activity becomes inevitable. And it is that desire inside of man that is the driving force of economic activity. It's what powers economy. So you can already see kids having small economic activity amongst themselves with their food. And even if you go to their daycare and their nursery schools, there's still some form of exchange. Give me your this and I'll allow you to play with my toy a little bit. Let me ride your bicycle. Okay, let me play with your toy car. Or you ride my bicycle, let me play with your toy car. The desire inside to satisfy something already necessitates a kind of transaction. So it's inborn. It's that desire that powers economy. So of shorty, within this 120 unit value of wealth and 40 individuals that are participators in economic activity, by necessity, transaction will start occurring because of the need to obtain what one doesn't have to fulfill a want or a desire. And over time, what we have in that society is that people will request this one service. This one is an engineer, this one is a medical doctor, is a doctor, is a healer. This one has a need for have something constructed for him. This one has a health issue. And one way or the other, they will complement each other because there is interdependence in society. Nobody can escape it. You can't do without each other. God created it like that. It's the design of creation. It flows down through the economy. And so, this asks for this. Give this one will be willing to give what he has to obtain what he doesn't have. Over time, what will begin to occur is what is called exchange. And exchange is what is referred to as trading. Trade simply means giving what one has to obtain what he desires or what he needs. And of course, with time, what evolved was the barter system. I give you what I have, I need what you want. I collect what you want because you need what I have. All right. We already know from our basic schooling and processing, from everything that has been taught us in school, that the trade system was a barter system of trading. It was a trading system. It was imperfect for a number of reasons, as we identified yesterday, as we already know, which was the subject of double coincidence primarily. Because if, like I said yesterday, if I have an iPhone, but I need a PC, a computer, I will have to look for somebody who has a personal computer. But that is not enough. This person must be willing to accept an iPhone. So if we have somebody who has a PC, great. But what if he wants a ceiling fan or an air conditioner? He has what I want, but I don't have what he wants. So I found him, but he hasn't found what he wants. And so over time, it becomes the more complex with needs to find the exact tailor-made trade partner or tailor-made exchange individual that just you people just match in terms of want and needs, alongside with the stress of carrying cumbersome luggage for sake of exchange and exposing yourself to risk on the highway. And so because of that, it had to evolve. And step from there, what began to come into place was the invention of the idea that instead of this, why don't we create a universal exchange medium? Something that can be accepted for any item universally. That thought began to bring into place the introduction of the monetary system of exchange. And the monetary system of exchange has gone through a whole lot of evolution, which is not our intention to do that. But eventually, that was what was born. It started with some metals and all that before, you know, the carry and all, every other thing in the ancient world. It's not our idea, but we just want, but at the end of the day, it started and we have it with us today. Now, having said that, I want to just make it very clear to your understanding. Because we are born into it, we accept it as what has been and will be. The monetary system was an invented idea. And it was adopted because it seemed to have solved every problem that the other systems of trade couldn't overcome. But it was an invention. It was an invention to solve economic necessities, to hamper economic impediments. It remained an invention. It was an invention. It didn't abide forever. Let's come back to our 120 unit value society with 40 participators in the economic activity. If with time they started exchanging wealth, direct exchange of wealth, which is what the barter system was, direct exchange of wealth, they will run into the troubles that we have already outlined. Supposing now we now have that this universal means of exchange that can be accepted is now introduced, it solves the problem. But remember, when we start exchanging what we call money, or let's refer to it as money units, and I think that term exists, but perhaps it does, but we just had to come up with it to define what we meant. And we refer to money units as single units of cash. So, supposing people started exchanging money units, because if we say money is general, it can be a whole lump of cash. So let's make it very specific. supposing people started exchanging money units in that simple society for wealth, for what they needed. It may be that you will see that they are exchanging money, but what really is being transacted is still being wealth exchanged. We must get this, because the monetary unit and system is not a direct value asset. It's not an intrinsic value asset. Nobody derives direct satisfaction from money. It is like that 20 seeds that other gentleman I gave an illustration of was looking for to acquire the vehicle. You don't derive direct satisfaction from your money units. It is what you can obtain with it that you derive satisfaction from. Which brings me to this, that in the original scheme of things, money units of cash that was introduced is not wealth per se. It is only a means for wealth to be exchanged, to be obtained. Let me say it again. Cash is not wealth. It is only the means via which you can secure wealth for exchange. Till date, what is still being transacted is still wealth, asset of value. What you desire to obtain is wealth. We are getting good clarify some things if questions are arising in your mind. Is wealth. Look at this. We have nations that are referred to as being poor today. If their cash is wealth, they would have solved the poverty problem by printing more money and sharing $1 million to every citizen. But giving $1 million to every citizen doesn't solve the problem of poverty. Because the problem of poverty is not lack of money in terms of cash. It's lack of means. And that's why I see poverty abounds, because it's not a hard problem, but it is a sophisticated problem, because it's rooted also in individual. Some persons talk about liberating people from poverty, but most of the times it is actually liberating poverty from people. Let me say it again. Sometimes we think we want to liberate people from poverty, but contrary wise, it is actually liberating poverty from the people. Because sometimes it is people who hold on to being poor. It is not being poor that is holding on to them. You have to liberate poverty from them. I told us the story of Venezuela, that at some point their money had lost, they had printed, so the government printed so much money to circulation that the money lost so much value that in the marketplace they were weighing it to make purchase. That is, they didn't count what was the numerical value of the money you brought. They would put it on the scale to check the weight. So they started transacting with their currency by weight. So give me a stick of meat, stick of beef. All right, where's your money? You bring a bag of it, they bring the scale and weigh it. You see, this is 5 grams of cash you have brought. This particular gram of beef is actually 6.5 grams of cash. Then you pull more cash out of your bag. That's what it is. Printing so much money in a country will not make the country wealthy. Why? Because monetary units is not a measure of wealth. Wealth is still wealth. We are coming to that. Why are we saying this? It's to liberate our understanding so that we can really know what we are dealing with. These things I'm saying will be fulfilled perfectly to give you understanding, if God permits, when we bring another system of teaching to you in the same line of subject. It will answer every question that this is generating in your heart. Why this is being said in this line is so that you can be liberated. Your understanding can be decoupled. When God said to the prince of Tyre that you have gained riches, the word riches is not money. And I've said it was that riches is not money. And if whenever you encounter the word riches in scripture, what comes to your mind is money, you have a problem. Because you can see in Revelation chapter 5 verse 12, they were giving Jesus Christ riches as part of his inheritance in heaven. You think it's money they were talking about? The Hebrew word for money is kesef. Kesef. It means money, metal, ornament, gold, pieces of silver that you people transact with, coins, pieces of gold. The word God used for riches when he said to that man that you gained riches is kain. He talks about wealth, possessions, abundance. When they use the Hebrew word for Christ, when they talked about riches, it's not the Greek word in the New Testament for money. It's Pluto that was written in Greek. What is the lamb that was named to receive Pluto? It means wealth, abundance, possessions. The possession of wealth in society is transactable generally through the means of monetary units. But it is not money people exchange for money in society. I know we will come to that part where money itself becomes the asset of trade. That is another department of it. But at the long run, the people who trade money for money don't keep the money as, if they continue like that, they will still crash. Because when they trade money for money, some other variables come into place. And if God wills and permits, we will bring all those things, we'll journey to that place where we have all of these things included. Then we make a complete picture so that you don't have a question anymore. Every question will be a question for yourself to make you shift in understanding. Now, I told you that the rich, the billionaires on earth, they tell you so-so person is worth 103 billion. They didn't tell you that this person has 103 billion. They say what? He's worth it. That means they have assigned a valuation in terms of monetary value to his wealth, the things he owns, and then come up with that number. Because they don't have access to see his bank account. A bank account is a private thing. But his company is an outward thing that people can see, can value it in terms of obvious information and variables that are available and computed. They say this person is worth 103 billion. He is worth it in terms of his riches, his wealth, his asset. What do you transact in society? What do you transact? It is possession. God wants to give you abundance, riches, and wealth. But every time you see it, what comes to your mind is money. But you don't realize that with money, you can be made poor. Because money is a regulated commodity. I gave us an instance yesterday already that people who had 20,000 several years ago, if that person stored his 20,000 for 20 years, when he comes back today, the 20,000 would have diminished, devalued by maybe 5,000%. If he stored all his wealth in monetary units in the year of 2000, in 2023, he would be a poor man. Look at the cash crunch earlier on. People had wealth, millions, that they had in their strong room, private banking vaults. When they legislated that those notes now are no longer legal tender, rich men would have become poor overnight. Why? They stored their wealth as money units. Which is why I say this risky business, when you store your wealth in cash, in monetary form, it's a risky business because power decisions can make you poor overnight. Listen, there is a release of wisdom to trade. Because riches are increased by trading. That's the word we have for tonight. We have been doing recap. Now we have entered tonight again. There is a release of wisdom for trading. Instead, with wisdom and understanding, you have gained riches and increased and gathered gold and silver to your treasuries. He gained possession through understanding. True understanding, because he knows, this guy knows that what he requires is not their money. It's their asset he wants to own. But they need money. So they give him assets. He said, just keep your money. Pay me with land. How much is this car? Is five? Is what five? Can I give you 5 million? I don't need your money. If you have a land, just give. Pay me in land. Keep money, own money. And then the guy pays him as land. He say thank you. And then years later, they discover oil in the land. Oh God. He knows that asset of value. It's not in monetary units, and that wealth directly doesn't take on a consistent value in terms of monetary association. 5 million is 5 million, but a piece of land is not 5 million. It depends on the buyer. There are people buying land, the same portion of plot, for 20 million. Some are buying it 70 million. Now listen, the word from God is this, and it's here through what God said in verse 6: by your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches. Listen, riches can only be increased by trading. Is the law of economic operation. God blew the whistle on this guy. He said, from heaven I see you that you have wisdom. As if to say, you are even wiser than Daniel. Daniel was a man that spoke with angels directly. Angels were his best friends. What I'm trying to say is, he had interaction and discussion with angels. He was the one who could read the writing in angel tongues. He was wisdom, prophetic revelation was available abundantly to him. But here is this guy who is not even a Jew, a heathen king, as if to say God said to him, you are wiser than Daniel. God already was putting him at the same level with a prophetic wise man who was of the covenant seed. Are thou wiser than Daniel? Some translation put it, you are wiser than Daniel. Some answer the question. King James says, thou art wiser than Daniel. He blew a whistle on this king and said that you have gained riches by wisdom and understanding. And you have also gathered gold and silver, precious things, to your private account, your treasury. A wealth may be fixed per time in society, but through wisdom it can be increased. But wisdom in what exactly? Exchange. Wisdom. Exchange still remains the economic foundation for wealth multiplication. And by exchange, we talk, say, trade is exchange. Giving what you have to obtain what you don't have. Now, that definition is trade at one perspective, because we will soon introduce another factor into what we are talking about. But let us let this sink down properly. Trading still remains the established economic foundation for multiplication of assets. The principle is true through the laws of creation. You sow into the earth to reap in multiple folds. Jesus said, except the corn of wheat is sown, which is meant by saying falls to the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But when it is sown, it brings forth much fruit. Everyone who has had one activity or the other in agriculture know that you take that single seed and plant it in the soil. You trade with it, and it brings forth harvest. Which made this wise man to say that you can count how many seeds are in an orange fruit, but you can't count how many orange fruits are in a seed. My God. It then means that the potential for multiplication resides in every asset, but through trading in wisdom, it is multiplied. God blew the whistle on this guy. He said, your riches that you gained through wisdom have increased by wisdom in trade. Listen. He said, your riches that you gain through wisdom and understanding. You know how to program computers. You gained riches. He said, you are increasing that riches through wisdom in trading. Trade still remains the economic foundation for increase in wealth. Wealth is increased through trade. Now, trading, now don't carry the ordinary understanding and say, okay, to a K market. No. Trade is exchange. I've not defined anything for you. Like I said, don't import, just receive everything I'm saying to you in an isolated environment. And just let it be only what. Don't include anything you knew before. See out of it. Don't see from it outward. Don't see outward into it. Be inside it and see out. What I'm saying is, don't get any ideas. Wealth is increased through truth, through scriptures. All right. Look at what the scripture said. By your great wisdom in trading, you have increased your riches. What is trade? We say is simply exchange. When we trade, we exchange. When we give something to receive something, we have traded. The principle of trade is basic. Give something, get something. Give something, get something. And the one to whom you give something to can either be a person, a system, an entity, an institution, etc. But the thing is, you gave something, you got something. Even skill can be traded. And one of the most strategic things to trade is skill, because you don't run out of it. If I trade in wares, W-A-R-E-S, wares like maybe exotic items, I can run out of it and still need to restock. And maybe if I sold them at a particular amount and needed to restock, when I went back to the store, the value increased. Something had happened. But nobody runs out of skill. Hey, you are amazing. Chris, can you come and build my house? Say, oh, the last house I built, it, I have finished my skill. I have to go and learn again. No. Once gotten, forever gotten. Unless you abandoned it until you became rusty. But you can still dust it off by practice again. One of the most strategic things to trade is skill. You don't run out of it. If you can build a house, you can build a house. You can't finish the skill. But at the same time, you can value it with economic dynamics. What is trade? You give something to get something. The one to whom you give something can be an individual, a person, an entity, an organized system, etc. The principle of trade, the first principle of trade is basic. Give something, get something. But trade remains a foundation for wealth multiplication, increase. But wait a minute. There are still many variables hinged to the concept of trading. Because we define trade in basic terms as exchange. But it is not every trade that you exchange that will result to what riches being increased. Which is why God was careful not to say that through trade you have increased. He said through great wisdom. It was not just through trade. It was through great wisdom. And when you see wisdom, you know that there is a logic. You know that there's a logic in place. There's what they call functional operation in place. There is a logical way and system in place. Because you can give something to get something and then you lost. You decreased riches. Koko rata kizaka tel marakasia. You will see Esau lose trading like that. Give me that porridge. He said, give me thy birthright. He said, what is this birthright to me? Take it and give porridge to me. Let me live. He gave something, got something, but lost a generation forever. Lost riches for eternal riches. He lost it. He traded. But here is Joseph, a deceitful strategic trader. Don't be like that. Deceitful strategic trader. He traded what he had to get what he wanted, according to his need. So God was careful to say, it is not just through trade you have increased riches. It is through wisdom, and not just any wisdom, great wisdom, that you have increased riches. Again, trading remains the sure economic foundation for increase of assets. It is not purchase, it is trading. Because purchasing is still trading. So, trading is foundation for increase, but not just every trading. Trading according to logic. Somebody write it down in your notebook. Trading according to logic. Trading according to logic. And when you see logic, you know logic talks about laws. Logic talks about laws. If, else, laws, systematic arrangement in place. So, what kind of trading are we talking about? Trading on to increase. Trading on to increase. Trading on to increase. Lekusi da balatash kepele gete kele bekete kete kele bekesi kala balata kasku pele gete kele bekete kete bekesi kala kabiots. Rapanda la bebo shodro lo bebo kule poko poko le brata kate keske kete kete kele bekete kele bekete kele bekesi kala balata. Trading on to increase. Wow. Father, we give you praise. Just pray in your privacy, just a moment. Just pray in your heart. Say, Lord, open my heart to see wisdom. Pray in your heart. Open my heart to see wisdom. 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 Trading on to increase. Some persons have traded, but their riches reduced because it wasn't according to logic. God says, through your great wisdom, Corona mashata librata kaseke lebete kete kalaba kote kolo kudos lango kaske to kolo kote kolo kote kolo kote 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 kote. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
This concept, trading unto increase, is summarized in this phrase: profit, 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 profit. Profit is increase on exchange. Profit is giving and receiving greater value giving at a certain level of value and reaping at another level of value. Profit is increase. Until you trade according to logic, the logic that guarantees profit, you lose every time you exchange. Even though you derive satisfaction, you lost every time. Trading according to logic, the logic that ensures increase and profit. Bible says that your profit may appear to all. Today, God wants to turn some persons into merchant men for the kingdom. Divine merchant men. Because listen, we talk about the $1 billion outpour from God. And what I mean by that is the $1 billion realm. Let me put it that way. But God does not give money from heaven. Your earthly currency is too mundane to cut into the gates of eternity. But surely, by God, by Christ Jesus, God gives riches. Because riches is a language of the kingdom. Riches is a wealth, it's a resource that the kingdom needs. They gave to Christ riches. Every apostolic servant of Jesus Christ knew this fact. That is why Paul said to us that my God will supply your need according to his riches in glory. Are all your needs money? No. Whenever you read that scripture and you see money, you have missed it again. You think there's money in the riches of glory? Naira, to be doing what? Something that mortal men invented. Are you not seeing that every nation has their own currency apart? There's the naira, there's the dollar, there's the euro, there's the pound, there's the yen, there's the cedi. So what are you talking about? Paul saw this. He said, my God will supply your need according to riches in glory. And then, look at what he now said. In Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 8. This will not be the first time that Paul uses the phrase, the riches of Christ. He said in verse 8, to me, who I am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The word riches is pluto, the same word that they used, according that John used in his revelation to describe what he saw was given to Christ, is the same word Paul is using you here to say that I was made to make known riches. And then you can now see that in Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, he spoke to the church and commended them that God will supply everything you need according to riches. If all Christ's riches was money, your needs, all your needs can't be supplied. If all the riches of Christ was cash money as you were seeing it, then it doesn't meet the requirement or the description of being able to meet all your needs or supplying all your needs, because riches is more encompassing, more elaborate, more expansive, more accommodating. There's money in it, but it's just some portion of it. Sometimes What you need is an open door. It's an open door. Money can open it. The riches of Christ came through and sent you a man as a wealth from the kingdom. Some of you, your life is where your life is today because you encountered some riches from Christ that were men. And they met your need of destiny alignment. My God will supply all your needs according to riches. Now listen. We are entering billion-dollar realms in Christ Jesus because we are entering billion-dollar worth of exploits for Christ. Things that will be worth billions of dollars. The kingdom has wealth. Christ's riches is unsearchable. You can already hear the apostle say, the unsearchable riches of Christ. I'm going somewhere with this. These riches are the wealth of the kingdom. And riches is a universal language. Wealth anywhere is wealth anywhere. It is money. Some in anywhere that is not wealth everywhere. Hear this again. Wealth anywhere is wealth anywhere. But money, on the other hand, is not wealth everywhere. You can't carry Naira and trade in UK. They will push you out of the hall. Say, what is this? You can't carry your dollar and go to China. Give me a bottle of water. And you bring $1. Say, no, we don't accept that here. But the value of a car in the United Kingdom is still transactable in the United Arab Emirates. As a matter of fact, they ship vehicles from abroad and transact it here. Wealth is wealth anywhere. But money, on the other hand, is not wealth everywhere. It's limited. What Christ gives to you is access to the riches of the kingdom. When you see money, you keep missing the target every time. You are giving access to what is beyond money. They gave Christ riches in heaven. They give you access to that riches. Paul said, your needs, right, is supplied by the riches of Christ in glory. The word riches of God in glory, riches of Christ in glory, is a doctrine of the apostles' revelation. It's the doctrine of Christ's mysteries. You can already see his apostles teach it because they saw that Christ has all the riches from glory. If you need money, these riches can give it to you. Koro kara kere kusi kagata mayada. Pundu brata kasi kumbu mpakia. With by your wisdom and understanding, you gained riches. Listen. The wisdom of Christ inside of you has billion-dollar valuation. To kasisi kanda boratamikaze, kade kito kusiada. Christ's gift inside of you has valuation in dollars. It is not a purchase for it. It can be bought. But wealth anywhere is wealth everywhere, not money. Kara sandebrahanda bukosh kilabrata misaku. Wealth anywhere is wealth everywhere. Money is wealth somewhere, but not everywhere. God wants to give you $1 billion. But every time you read for the scripture, you miss out when they say the riches of Christ. You were looking for money. God was giving you access to kingdom wealth. Man, I am wealthy rich by Christ because of my value in Christ's kingdom. Man's system may have a valuation in some certain amount of currency, but they can't buy the gift. But because wealth everywhere is wealth anywhere, wealth anywhere is wealth everywhere, it can ensure that I will have access to wealth on it also. Then you begin to gain wealth here too. And then, by trade, by great wisdom, you increase the riches. There are many of you here right today that are with the riches of Christ. Please look at what Jesus said. I want somebody to read it so that it's not like I wrote it inside my Bible. Where is the apostle? Look straight in the professor. Are you there? We have not given you this one. How can you be there? We have not given you this one. Poor Adash. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. 2, verse 8 and 9.
Okay, sir. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, this thing saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. 9. I know thy works and tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy.
It's all right, God bless you. Now, that place where they say, but thou art rich, if you use a hardcover Bible, things are put in brackets in scriptures. In John chapter 7, verse 37, when he said, out of his belly shall flow from rivers of living water, take of the Holy Ghost, it's inside the bracket. You know why? It's a commentary on what Jesus was saying. Because at that time they didn't understand. So he was interpreting it for us because he wrote it after understanding came. That, but you, I know your poverty, but you are rich. It's inside brackets. Now listen. It's to some of you, I know your poverty, but you are rich. Oh, Taraka Ziziko. What kind of contradiction is that? If you stand before Christ and say, I know everything you have gone through, your empty-handedness, how broke you have been these past few years, how your poverty. And then looks at you and smiles and say, but you are rich. You may be angry at the same time. God, Lord, after everything I've done, is that what you have to tell me? You have said that I'm poor. You even called it your poverty. And then you still smiled at me and said, and chuckled, said, but you are rich. And you were smiling and laughing when you said that. How can I comprehend? He said you are rich because he knows his riches and that you have inheritance inside these riches. he said to Peter, this apostle that just read it, but you are rich. Peter may say, Lord, but I do not have about $1 million in my account. He will look at Peter again and say, but you are rich. Look at me, he will say. See the riches of my glory. They are yours too. But you are rich. The poverty remains as a contradiction in the earth. But he brings an eternal truth and says to you, but you are rich. God is saying to somebody tonight, but you are rich. But you are, but you are rich. Now somebody say, is this riches he's talking about money? No, again, It's inclusive, but beyond it. You are rich in... Your riches come from an ultimate kingdom. Kotalade Kapanda. Today, they trade in gold. Billions. The gold market is one of... Is the market of heavy merchant princes. But in the kingdom, is Kota. Lekota lama kasa kabarata. They used it as star. So if you come from a dimension where gold on earth is building material, koro taba shak dabaya is building material from heaven. All you need to do is pick some of your building material and come down here and trade it. Kode balada kabashe kulad bala. Bambari ko shankada. Lebre tenzeze suntoro banata. Katwa brakata. Liko sobratata. But you are rich. You are rich. But you are rich. Ne pada de kosi reketora bandaremo shigate koto brataya. But you are rich. But you are rich. But you are rich. But you are rich. Kataparana shekoto le bratata tele protokodia. Breko shigarana masaka dala brataya. But you are rich. Hi. My God. My God. My God. My God. Ooh. Oh, yes. I am rich. Kotorata kalabakasi kalabadia. It breaks off. That understanding. Jesus, first of all, outlined Jairus' condition. I know your tribulation, your suffering. He outlined what was the obvious state that those guys were in. Because he wasn't speaking to a structure. He was speaking to a group of individuals that were his people. And let's not go through that. Your works, your suffering, which is what he meant by tribulation. He corrected when he came to poverty. He said, but you are rich. That's the New King James. But thou art rich, the old King James said. The New King James said, but you are rich. Kate paladamas. In the face of every economic crisis you are facing now, as God is saying to you, but you are rich. In the face of everything you are going through now, Christ says to you, but you are rich. In the face of economic downturn, ups and downs, needs like an armed man. The Bible talks about the word that comes like an armed man, very aggressive. Christ says to you, but you are rich. Adegahi, God says, but you are rich. You are rich. But you are rich. But you are rich. You lay all your troubles before him. He says to you again, he smiles and looks into your eyes with a smile and says, but you are rich. Everything you talk about that is a money trouble, an economic trouble, He replies with just the same answer. For you are rich. In short, all your needs can be met by the riches of Christ. Because the riches of Christ is inclusive of what you call your earthly currency once you are able to install it properly. But it's beyond it. Lord, look at my health is failing. Say, but you are rich. If all your needs can be met by the riches of Christ, Paul will teach it. That is to show you that the riches of Christ is beyond what your earthly money is not worth it. It can't go up to heaven. It can't. It's men that created it. Men, it's under the law of men. Money is under the system and the government of men. They have power over it. Those same men are under God. The riches of Christ. Access to these riches, money won't be a problem. We have $1 billion projects coming up. Really, for Christ Jesus in the earth. $1 billion exploits. $1 billion gospel outreaches in every form. I see a system. We can't talk about it. It's a corporate and organized, sophisticated kingdom arrangement. Billions of dollars will go into it because it takes wealth to build. You can already see the offerings of David. Through wisdom, you also have wealth. Wealth anywhere is wealth everywhere. If you have wealth in the kingdom, there's no reason why you shouldn't have wealth on earth. The riches of the kingdom are riches times 500,000% in the world of men. Money can be wealth somewhere, but not everywhere. But wealth anywhere is wealth everywhere. The riches of Christ Jesus. By your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches. I will round up with this. The riches of Christ in you are assets of value. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 teaches us. But the gifts of the Spirit is given to every man for his profit. Now listen. Scripture then teaches us that the gift of a man opens doors for you and brings him before kings. Now, I'm not teaching you to go and put money value on the gift of God in you. Ah, you are funny. You try. Obvious truth is money flows in the direction of assets that have value. And I end up with this dynamics. You know why it's not very easy? That is to lower it. Because it's like a boomerang effect. Gold is an asset of value from ancient times till date. And its value is growing and growing. I don't know what is a dollar equivalent of a carat of gold. But maybe somebody can do a research and maybe tell us before we round up speaking. But you can't lower the gold prices to influence it the way you do to petroleum. Because as one witty observer has said, when you lower the price of gold, you end up increasing the price. Somebody says, how is that possible? It's very simple. The law of demand and supply. When the price of gold drops, demand is high and supply is not meeting it. Price will go up. So if you lower the price of gold, it's like pulling down a rubber band. It will shoot up backwards. Assets of value. Money moves in the direction of asset of value. That's why when gold is available, people's money go to it. And it's not meager amounts. that trades the gold market. It's big stuff. What you have in you is more valuable than gold. What that means is big stuff also can come your way. I have shown you by God's word certain dynamics of wisdom. But this conclusion tonight set forth the stage for next weekend as God permits. And we will begin at 11 again. Riches are increased by trading. But profitable trading, which is what God described as great wisdom in trade. Again, according to God's word, but you are rich. Father, we give you praise. Go ahead, bless his name and worship him. Thank him because he's God. And he's not like him. Go ahead, worship him. Go and tell us. Anybody found a dollar equivalent for the character gold?
Yes, sir.
What's the value?
It's $12.47 per carat of gold.
Can you believe that? 12 what?
$12.47.
What's the mass equivalent of a carat? In grams,
that's 0.2 grams.
Alright, so if we are talking about one kilo of gold, what's the carat equivalent? You can use that mathematics, 0.2 grams of that should be about dividing by 1,000 to convert to kilograms. And then finding the equivalent of one. Just equivalent. So you can directly
2,000.
What?
That should be around 62,000 plus.
Oh my God. Glory to God. So 1 kg, now that 62,000 is how much in Naira?
Mm-hmm.
Current exchange rate.
That's like over 50 million Naira.
Orani, Talamanos. Okay, if they give you 50 million Naira, wouldn't it at least settle you till the end of this year?
Glory.
You're about to just say glory. Now, listen to what I'm about to say. In your lifetime, 1 kilogram of gold will not be worth anything to you. They don't know the implication of that. I'm saying 1 kilogram of gold will be worth nothing to you. What that means by extension is you will say 50 million is an exploit again. You'll be over and above it. Today, we rise certain kinds of merchants of the kingdom. Men of wisdom that understand the resources of heaven and how to transact them to bring forth wealth out of the earth. That's what we have been trying to say. They are stewards of they have the resources of heaven, and then they have the wisdom to transact it and then bring forth resources in the earth. So that the billion dollar is not of heaven, it's earthly currency. But because he has a superior authority, he's able to acquire it because already he's wealthy. Wealth anywhere is wealth everywhere. May God give you understanding in all things. Tonight, I decree encounters tonight. Many persons, you'll be seeing gold literally now. You'll be seeing gold. Your eyes, gold, everywhere, gold. It's confirming to you that, but you are rich. In your days, you are rich. It's not, it's Christ that said it through his word. But you are rich. He's saying that to so many persons here, but you are rich. Boy, you are rich. but you are rich. Revelation 2, verse 9. But you are rich. But you are rich. Today. You see, we talked about systems and structures from the assembly. See where it breaks into. It enters our economia. Economy. It's showing to you that billion-dollar individuals, who the $1 billion will be worth nothing to them, because they know their actual value in the kingdom. Let me tell you something. All the health, the wealth on earth, can't exchange with the wealth in heaven. A unit of the wealth in heaven. Those of you that somehow, there are people here who are into forex trade. When I say exchange, they know what I'm talking about. All the wealth on earth can't exchange with the unit of wealth from heaven. Even the gold here is pure. There's a level they say you refine gold until it becomes transparent. Purest gold, because the level gold are in levels depending on the purification. They are fake goods, they are mixed with other metals and elements. 100% gold, 100% gold, then levels of purification. So if you carry one unit of wealth from heaven and try to exchange it on earth, you may crash the economy, because you all the assets on earth will draw your direction. What's the value of one Kuwait now, Apostle, to Naira? People don't know that currency. They don't exchange it too much because it will cause a lot of trouble. What's the value of one Kuwait? Where are my traders?
2,448 Nigerian Naira.
2,441. So if I give you 1,000 Kuwait, that is 1,000 times 2,400. So they don't exchange it. I carry one unit of it. You give me 2,000. There are still higher orders of value. We are entering those realms. If God permits, we will enter it all. And all of those things you are thinking in your mind. God has spoken to us. And wisdom. You say, go ahead, give him praise. Thank you. It is done. It is done. Merchants of gold are rising from there. Give him praise. Lotus Shakala Basket. There's somebody, your migration from your level of wealth is going to occur dramatically, drastically. Overnight, that your status will shift. It will take a while. It will happen suddenly. He said, I know your poverty. Then he looked at, he smiled and laughed and said, but you are rich. There's somebody here, your transition from poverty to abundance will happen overnight. Is it possible? I will show you abundance of it through scripture and contemporary times. Your transition from that serious level of lack that has bedeviled you, it will happen overnight. Overnight. You were poor yesterday, and then Christ says, but you are rich, and then the following day, abundance unbelievable. It will happen overnight. It will happen overnight. It will happen overnight. It will happen overnight, and then from there, it's just progress into the dimensions of it. For some of you, it will take a while. You are growing in it. Things are changing. But for some of you, it will happen all of a sudden. It is done. Father, we give you praise for what you have done today. Receive the praise of your glory. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' most precious name. God bless you for joining tonight. Depend for as many persons that are here. Please share the audios that you hear. The audios on last weekend's revolution is available. Revolution 1 and 2, the seeds of revolution. You can see a snippet on the channel where that was cut out. Please download that 4 minutes video and share it. Just keep sharing it. Share it. For those of you that were not around for the assembly, get the audios on the assembly. Systems and structures, the knowing of Christ. And systems and high things, destiny and structure, systems and high things, mountains and giants. Get those audios, share it to them, share the link to it. Say, this is this link, get this audio to change your this audio will be ready. This particular one, I don't know if we'll produce yesterday's one. If we see it and we see that the things that were said were actually transmitted, we would. But tonight carries most of the things that were said yesterday, but the transmission was somehow obstructed. But glory to God, we prevailed the mic. Hallelujah. So it will be ready. Get it, listen to it, send it to somebody who is also in finance. Send it to somebody who is a child of God, as a Christian thinker in business. Send it. And tell them, join me. Next week, we move to another depth. I told you we are arriving at something, but these are just the primordial and the first instance of things that we must be familiar with, so that when we start building other sophisticated systems of wisdom, we'll be applying the things we are saying. We won't have to define it. You know, when you were in high school, they taught you simultaneous equations. When you go to advanced physics, you just be applying simultaneous equation principle. Nobody will tell you this is simultaneous equation. As a matter of fact, some textbook will just put an equation with five unknowns, and the next step is that they have the values and they are working with it. A novice will say, how did they know that theta now is 7.5? They didn't show it. No, they assume that you already identified this is simultaneous. This is an equation with various unknowns. You use metrics to solve it. That's what we'll just start applying terms. And the people that have been following will know when we say money units, when we say economic density, they already understand what we are talking about. But if we jump start like that, we won't carry so many people along if anybody will make the shift. God is with you. God bless you. I appreciate you all. These words, they are transforming and changing. We give God praise for this privilege and this grace. And we thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this tonight's round table. Receive praise and glory. Please build with us as we build. Help us to spread God's wisdom that many may be impacted. God bless you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just go ahead, give him praise and bless his name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah.